The end of the article isn't the end of the story. The Journal podcast goes behind the scenes with reporters and covers everything from the Mormon Church's $100 billion fund to coronavirus. Listen to The Journal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, May 22nd. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. What's it like to look for a job in tech right now? Fewer companies are hiring, and between recent grads and workers that have just been laid off, the competition is fierce. Our reporter Asa Fitch will join us to tell us what job prospects and the hiring process look like after these headlines. Amazon's Prime Day has been postponed to September. You might remember that the annual sales event is normally held in July, but was put on hold earlier this year as the company struggled to fulfill skyrocketing demand for online orders. Insiders say that reinstating Prime Day is a sign that Amazon is now in a position to process the orders in a timely fashion. That said, it's not clear whether the company will be able to deliver on its usual pre-pandemic shipping speeds. In the future, working for Facebook might mean working from home, even after the pandemic. CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced on Thursday that he plans to turn as many as half of Facebook's employees to work-from-home status within the next 10 years, starting with software engineers. The plan makes Facebook the latest major business to make remote work part of its long-term strategy. And speaking of working from home, it's week 10 for our team. If you're a Facebook employee, that might be the first day of the rest of your life. But we have been speaking every week to our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, who has been sharing her best work from home tech tips with us and making our lives so much easier. Joanna, are we going to be doing this forever now?
Well, I mean, I may be working from home forever, and you may be too. And certainly it seems like the employees of Facebook will be working from home forever. But I do not think I can give tech tips forever.
We do have a couple today, though, right?
We do. We do have a couple today.
All right. When we started this thing, it was spring and we were all still locked inside because it was cold. It's getting warmer outside. We got a voicemail from a listener in Marin County, California, aptly named Gardener Lulin. Listen to this.
Not all calls that we are on require us to be in front of a screen. And so I'll take myself and my phone and my headphones and go outside and work in the garden. And it's a great way to find some peace of mind, get some fresh air, and at the same time, be productive with my colleagues.
So Gardner's point is great. It's great to take phone calls outside, but it can also be great to work on a laptop or on your tablet or even on your phone outside. And that can present some problems. So two areas I have been thinking a lot about. The first are screen reflections outside. I'm sure we've all been in that situation. You bring your laptop outside, you can't actually see a thing on it because the sun is glaring right on it. So if you've got an umbrella, that's great. Don't invest in anything else. I'm not talking like a rain umbrella, though that will work if you feel like holding that up over your laptop for as long as you work. But if you don't have an umbrella, this is my new favorite tip. It came from reader Kelsey Fouch, who sent me a photo of this, and it's great. You turn a cardboard box vertically, and you put your laptop inside there, and it gets rid of the glare. If you don't want to go that low tech, you can actually buy a super cool screen visor on Amazon. But the thing that's crazy about these, Kateri, is they cost like $50.
What?
Yeah, some are like $70-$80 on Amazon.
That cardboard box is looking good.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, these, if you look at these pictures on Amazon, they're pretty humorous. It's like a little sun visor, a little tent for your laptop. It's sort of adorable. The second main issue you might have is connectivity. You have the patio, but the Wi-Fi signal doesn't stretch there. Two things you could do there. One, if you've got a mesh network, and we've talked about those on the show over the last couple of weeks, you want to put those extra nodes, the extra router, near the window, near your outside space. That can help. You can also use your phone's mobile hotspot feature, which uses cellular data, and use that outside.
Okay, Joanna, so we've done this for 10 weeks. What's the big takeaway, and what's next from here?
Well, what I'm hoping is next for everybody listening is that you're going to download my new ebook that has all 50 of the tips that I've been giving over the past couple of weeks. We decided to compile these into a nice PDF that's available to all Wall Street Journal subscribers. You can go to wsjplus.com/workfromhome. And the other thing that's great about this ebook is that we have 10, I think maybe 11 or 12, I forget the exact number, of reader tips. So people who have called in or emailed me over the last couple of months, we've put their tips in the book as well. So that's what everyone needs to do in the immediate future. I think it's a really good question, though, about what happens in this work from home, remote work situation for the next, well, forever. I think the news about Facebook and other tech companies moving their entire workforces to optional work from home and saying we really encourage this is super interesting. I think it's likely to result in some situations, and I think for many of us, the situations that we're looking at in the next period here involve, I think, a hybrid where we've got our home offices, but we've also got our actual offices and we split our time between those two. And I think that's going to spark a whole new set of tech challenges. And hopefully I can come back and give some more tips on that. A lot of my tips have been around the tech we currently have, but what kind of tech is now going to come down the line for our new situations, things that are going to enhance and make these situations better for us as we build these more permanent home offices.
I'm sure they're working on it already. All right. Senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus. So if you have a fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going in. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Tons of software engineers have just graduated or are graduating from college, and they're now looking for their very first jobs in tech. They're entering a market that was very hot when they started their senior year and has cooled off a lot since then. Thousands of tech workers have been laid off in recent days, and some executives have said that those positions aren't coming back. Companies that are hiring have to jump through hoops to keep people safe during the interview process. All this to say, finding a job in Silicon Valley is more difficult and certainly stranger than it has been in a long time. Here to tell us about it is our reporter, Asa Fitch. Asa, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, tech companies have weathered financial crises before. Is this one any different?
Well, this one is different in that the winners and losers, I guess, are very different. You have large companies that have tremendously large balance sheets, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars on the books that can kind of sail through this thing, which may not have been the case really in past crises, the dot-com bust and even the financial crisis. And then you have these sort of these startups that have become quite large, but, you know, aren't very profitable and, you know, are in sectors in some cases that have been hard hit by this thing and just don't have the financial wherewithal to continue without making serious adjustments.
A lot of companies have instituted hiring slowdowns or all out freezes. So who is hiring right now? And what does that all tell us?
Well, the companies that are hiring generally are larger ones like Amazon and, you know, some parts of Microsoft, for example, are still hiring. There are also some startups that are well-funded or, you know, also have products that have some relevance in the coronavirus world that are still hiring because there's a clear market opportunity and they see this as, you know, kind of their chance to up their game in the sort of talent world. So those are the generally the two broad categories of companies that are hiring right now.
You spoke to people who were laid off, who are now back on the job hunt. What did they tell you about their experience about being recruited for some new jobs?
They're saying it's, you know, the market is just a little bit cooler than it has been in the past when they search for jobs. And maybe a little bit is putting it a little bit too mildly, but perhaps a lot cooler. So people are saying that essentially they're looking for jobs, they're talking to recruiters, and they're just getting fewer hits. They're getting a lot of people who are very sympathetic about their plight in this difficult time. But what they're hearing is that there aren't a lot of open positions. So people are just saying, well, I'll give you a call back later when I have something, but there's not much going on right now.
What do the actual interviews look like? I mean, most companies are working from home.
Yeah, I mean, among those that are hiring, they're doing crazy stuff. Like they're bringing people together on golf courses in different socially distanced, you know, contexts to try to get some human contact rather than doing everything, you know, online or via Zoom or whatnot. I mean, some obviously are just comfortable hiring people without ever interacting with them physically. So it's kind of a mix.
We're bracing for this financial downturn to last for quite a while. What do we expect the tech industry to look like on the other side of this?
You know, it's interesting to think about. It's hard to predict. I think people say that the winners, obviously, out of this might be the larger companies that are still able to hire and kind of gobble up more of that talent that otherwise might have gone to some of their competitors or some of these smaller companies, these still large but smaller companies like Airbnb and Uber that have laid off large numbers of people. So that could be one result. Another might just be that, you know, there aren't as many jobs to go around. And so the people who have wider experience and deeper resumes might get hired, whereas others, you know, let's say recent graduates or people with less experience might just have a tougher slog out there trying to get new work in tech and may even have to rethink things potentially about their careers.
So, you know, people have been working from home for a long time, and we're seeing some of these big tech companies especially really make changes into what they think their office and office culture will look like for the long term. Is that impacting how they're going about hiring right now?
Definitely. I mean, it's a lot more people are comfortable with having employees who work remotely. So that's changing things in a couple of ways. I mean, one is employees, people looking for work, are now looking a lot further afield. It used to be that, you know, if you want to work in tech, basically you have to be in Silicon Valley and, you know, with some exceptions. But, you know, if you want to work at a big company, you should be in Silicon Valley. And that's the people of that whole thing has kind of changed, and people are looking elsewhere. And these companies too are kind of looking again at how they've set themselves up. And you know, some companies like Twitter, for example, was the first to do it, have said we're comfortable with people just working from home indefinitely. So that whole culture has changed, and the idea of tech companies setting up fancy offices with lots and lots of perks and crazy, you know, games and lots of beer in the fridge that's free for everybody. That whole thing is kind of being challenged by this the coronavirus situation.
Our reporter Issa Fitch, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, one quick programming note. We will be taking off a Monday for Memorial Day, but we'll be back in your feed on Tuesday. In the meantime, don't forget, if you want to share your work from home tech questions with Joanna Stern, our contact information is still in the description. Tech News Briefing is produced by Amanda Llewellyn. I'm your host, Kateri Yoakum. Have a great long weekend, and thanks for listening.